be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one who he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory. And he also, and you also, were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. To the praise and glory, to his praise and glory. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God who loves us and cares for us, that you give us the Bible as your written revelation of you for all eternity, but that you speak to us today and you illuminate it through your Holy Spirit to us. And so, God, we ask this morning that you would be speaking your truth to us. Help us to know what it is to be your people. Help us to know more of who you are. Speak to us, open our hearts and minds to hear what you would have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week we launched our new vision, mission and values. We talked about the fact that we are called to be an epicenter of hope. And that as we think about the values, and we're going to spend 4 weeks looking at each individual value, these help us to find the life that we have in God and then share that out to be an epicenter of hope. And so today we're going to start off this series by looking at what it means for us to be dependent on God. This is our first value. And as we think about being dependent on God, it is recognizing our need for him. When we think about what it is to be dependent on God, it is to be needing him. In Australia, we are all reasonably comfortable. The vast majority of us can provide for our basic needs. That we can put a house over our heads, we can provide food on the table. That most of us are reasonably able to do this and go beyond that as well. And this means that as we do this, it's easy to become complacent about God. Why? Because we look at all the things we've got and go, well, what do we actually need God for? Why does it matter? Because I've got a roof over my head, I've got food on my table, I've got a job that I can provide for family, I can do the things that I want to do. Maybe it takes a little bit of sacrifice here and there, but I can actually provide for my needs. And so, why do I need God? What does God actually give to me? And so we become apathetic and complacent about God because our identity is safe because we've got all this other stuff that helps us to meet our requirements. We can say, well, I've got my identity secure in my work, in my family, in the things I have at home, in my ability to provide, in the friendships I have, in the things that I've been able to achieve in my life. And yet, what being dependent on God says is that these things might be great, and these things are good for us, but they are good in their rightful place. Because what happens is that something will happen in those areas. We'll get passed over for the promotion at work that we think should be ours. Someone else will get the glory for the things that we've done. Something will happen. There'll be an argument in our house, and suddenly we start to think, well, how do I fit into my family? Am I being a loving husband, wife, son, daughter? Am I being a good housemate? God, what are you doing? Where is my identity in this? Because suddenly what I thought was secure is not. And yet being dependent on God says, no, I recognize my need for God. That my identity can't be in these things, because as good as they are, none of these actually give me my full identity, and none bring me life to its fullest. That even if I did the most wonderful humanitarian deeds, none of that could actually earn me full relationship with God. See, being dependent on God says, I recognize you, God, for the fact that I need you to live life to its fullest, and I need you for my salvation, that I can't earn it. And we read it in our Bible reading today. God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. He chose us in him before the creation of the world. In love, he predestined us for adoption to son and daughtership through Jesus Christ. In him, we have redemption through the blood. It is in him, not in us, in him that we have these things. That as we think about this, it's none of what we can do, but it's surety in who he is and what he has done. That it was before the creation of the world that he's chosen us to be holy and blameless. That in love he predestined us, that we are redeemed through the blood of Jesus, who comes before us, and he gives us the forgiveness of sins. He doesn't look at our lives and go, oh, Steve, you are awesome. You've got it all going on at the moment. And I really saw how you helped that old lady cross the road there safely. You know what? I'm going to swipe right on you because you are good. No, God is saying, I don't care about that. That's not why I'm choosing you. That's not what makes you worthy. I'm choosing you because you are mine. I'm choosing you because you need me to give you life. And I am the one who gives you life. Not because of what you've done, but because you are mine. And so as we think about dependence on God, it is this recognition of our need for him. That even though we might be able to provide for all our needs, we need God to provide for our spiritual needs, and he is the one who gives us our physical needs as well and fulfills that too. That it is in God that we have this redemption in him. And so then, as we think about recognizing our need for him, it is not just in this, but it's also that as we become a Christian and as we live the Christian life, we need him to lead and guide us as well. Just as the Israelites needed God to lead them when they were going into the promised land and out of Egypt, God leads us today. That the Holy Spirit, which Paul talked about in our reading as the promised inheritance to us, the promised Holy Spirit deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, is actually within us to help us to be God's people. That dependence on God doesn't just say, well, God, thank you so much for all that you've done for me. I'm going to go do this thing now, but I'll keep in mind what you've done and I'll hopefully come back to that at some point. No, it's saying, God, as I know that I need you for my redemption, as I know that I need you for life to its fullest, can you also lead me in this way as I go forward too? That I want to look to you and trust you. That I want to see your stirring at work in me. I want to go where you are leading me. I want to walk in step with you because I know that it is in that that I actually get life to its fullest. I can't do this on my own. I need you, God, to do this. And so we see it in the Holy Spirit at work in us, that as we go through the Christian life, we are shaped by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is giving us His gifts in us to further us in God, but also He's stirring in us, the people of God, what it means to be the people of God. He gives us the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. It is as He leads and guides us and shapes us in this that we see this lived out in our life. And yes, also God's leading and guiding happens as we seek God and listen to His voice. This can be in the little feelings that we have within us, that, oh, something doesn't feel quite right in this. It might look good, but I'm not sure about this. Or it can be the extreme peace we have about a situation in the midst of turmoil, going, yeah, this doesn't seem to make sense, but I am trusting God and I know that God is at work in this because I've got His peace right here in the midst of it. Maybe it'll be the crystal clear voice of God speaking to you, saying, do this, don't do that, those kind of things. Maybe it'll be as you're praying, hearing the answer through someone else, as they go, oh, have you considered this? And that can be that, oh, I've been praying about that, and that's an answer to my prayer within that. Maybe it'll be in pictures or a piece of scripture that stands out to you. But it is this stirring of God within us, leading us as we seek Him in it. I shared this story when Aini and I started here at Christchurch. We'd been praying for a number of months about, God, where are you leading us to go? So we knew that it was time for us to move on from Ivanhoe, where I'd been working, and going, God, we feel you calling us to being a vicar, a senior minister in a parish. Will you lead us in that? We had the conversations with the bishops as the Anglican system works. And they'd put a number of different parishes in front of us. And we'd go through the process, and as we went through it, none of them felt right. They might look good on paper, but we kind of feel this sense of unease going, now this doesn't feel like what God is calling us to. And throughout this whole process, Newport came up. And it came up reasonably early into the process as we've gone through a couple of other parishes thinking about it. And so we kind of said, all right, we feel like there's something in that that we need to look at. We need to go through the process of Newport. And we kept having discussions with the bishops about other parishes, but we kind of go, yeah, all right, no, that doesn't feel right. Well, we really feel like we need to work through Newport. And so fast forward a few months, finally Bishop Kate goes to me, yes, I've got all this stuff, here we can do it. As we're going through the process, even if we had have looked at those other parishes, we would have gone, actually, you know what, something doesn't feel right, because why? We feel like God is calling us to Newport. And so we go through the process and we feel the extreme peace of God throughout it. We know that God has called us to be here. Not because He gave us some crystal clear voice, go to Christchurch, Newport, Steve. No, it was the small, still feelings within us, that sense of, yeah, God, you're drawing us into this place. And that's so often how God, and when we're dependent on God, that's how He leads us in these kind of still, small ways that He's going, yeah, I want you to come and press into me in this. Why? Because we need Him to lead us. And why does He draw us in close? Because He wants to be close to us. Dependent on God is recognizing our need for Him and recognizing our need for Him to lead and guide us as His people as well. And so as we think about what it looks like to be dependent on God, and as we think about this as a value for our church, I'm going to give us three things for what it looks like for us as a church, and three things for what it looks like for us to be dependent on God in our own lives as well. And the first thing is this, that to be dependent on God as a church looks like us worshiping Him. Kind of self-fulfilling, isn't it? That as we recognize God, we will worship Him for it. But actually, this is about us putting God first in everything and seeking to praise and glorify Him in everything. It is us saying, God, we want to honor you and we want to glorify you. Why? Because we recognize that you are the God of all and we can't do anything without you, and so we want to worship you for you. You know, the things that we do in church help us to do this. The Christmas on the Lawn event that we'll run in a few weeks is us saying we want to bless our neighborhood with God's love by showing them what a privilege it is to know God and to just be a blessing. Why? Because we want to glorify God and show his love that they might know God as well. We gather in small groups throughout the week because we want to encourage one another in our journey together in God. We want to grow deeper in God. We want to encourage one another to pursue God more and more, and we want to equip one another to do this. We gather in prayer throughout the week because we want to honor and seek God, and we say, God, we want to put you first, and so we're going to seek what you have for us in this. Our Sunday services happen because we say we want to gather as God's people to praise and glorify him and to work together and understand more of who he is in our lives as well. And so we do these things to say, God, we want to honor and glorify you. Why? Because that's what it looks like for us to be dependent on you, is to recognize our need and to put you first within this. The second thing of what it looks like for us to be dependent on God as a church is not to simply trust in our own skills and ideas. We are incredibly blessed in this church with the gifts and talents and abilities that God has given us. And I pray that God will continue to bless us with incredible gifts and talents and minds. But one of the dangers of this is that it's easy to slowly over time slip into trusting our own competencies rather than in seeking God. That as we've thought about things, we go, oh, we know this thing works, so let's do that, rather than going, God, are you actually leading us to do this? And so we slip into going, yeah, well, we think this is a good idea, and so let's just do that. And that doesn't say that we don't talk about ideas and seek and listen to one another's ideas in that. No, God has given us brains for a reason. He's given us gifts for a reason. But it is to say, as we talk about this, we also test it by saying, God, is this where you are leading us? Is this what you are calling us to? Last week at our annual meeting, Jenny and Kath both had to step down from being on parish council and wardens because they'd served 6 consecutive years. And one of the rules of the Anglican Diocese of Melbourne is that if you've been on wardens or parish council for 6 consecutive years, you need to have a break. You need to have a year off to have a rest. Now, Jenny and Kath are incredibly faithful and wonderful servants, and they are a blessing to us to have on parish council and wardens. And in all honesty, if I was living in just competencies, I would have them on there without a second thought, because they help us to fulfill what God is calling us to. But they had to step down. Go back a few weeks before that at Synod, our Anglican Diocese Parliament, if you like, there was a motion put to seek exemptions for creating a provision to have exemptions from the 6-year rule. That you could push it out a year or two so that you don't lose all your good people in one sitting. But as we were going through that, as I'd been praying in the lead up to it, I felt like I had to vote no to this. That actually, to have those exemptions goes against what we're actually putting in place. And so I'm going, all right, God, I'm trusting you in this. And so I voted no, and the motion failed, not because of just my vote, but there was lots of other people voting. But then I'm going, yeah, God, I'm trusting you in this. It would be all right to just lose Jenny and Kath, but then we also lost Tessa and Nigel and Tim from parish council as well. And suddenly this dependence on God that I'm proclaiming and saying, God, I'm trusting you to provide in this, is tested. That if I was in that boat and trusting my own ideas, it's going back, going, no, I'm changing my vote. I want to vote yes for this exemption. But actually, as we trust God, this empowers us to live into what he is calling us to. And we are blessed with our new parish council that we've had people step up and step into roles, to step into new things. Why? Because God is stirring them into this. And it's not just trusting our own skills and ideas, but trusting in God and who He is. Which brings us to our third point of what it looks like for us as a church to be dependent on God. And that is to pray, to pray, and to pray. And on and on and on. Prayer is us saying to God, we are looking to you. We need you to move. We can't do this on our own. We are not the ones who change hearts and lives. We are not the ones who set people free. It is you, God. And it is only you, and it is only in you that we can seek this. And so we pray. We pray for God to move. We pray for God to move powerfully and for us to keep pressing into this. And so we pray. I love that we have every Saturday morning an hour of prayer, praying for God to move in our church, praying for God to move in our world, seeking God, sitting and listening to what He has to say to us. So often those prayer times are opened with a prayer of praise to God, and then, God, would you show us how to pray this morning? Would you show us the things that are on your heart for us to pray? I love that once a month our men are getting together to pray as well. I love that once a month we have started a prayer for Australia, that we are seeking God to move in Australia. And I love that by the end of 2026 we are going to have 5 out of 7 days having an hour of prayer each day. That we are going to be a church that is saying, yeah, God, we are looking to you, we are trusting you, and we know that we can't do it without you. It is only by you. That if we want to be an epicenter of hope, God, we need you to do that. It's not us. We can do all the lights and gimmicky things we want, but that's not going to change lives. It is you, God, that changes lives, and we want you to be at work in us and at work in our communities. And so we pray. And we seek and we listen to God. It's why, as we've launched this vision, mission, and values, it hasn't just come like that. It's taken us the year to get to this place as we've listened to God, as we've sought together, God, who are you? As our parish council and wardens have prayed over this, as I've prayed over it, as we've come together and sought God together, saying, God, what is the stories that you want us to tell within this? This is what it looks like for us as a church. Be dependent on God, to worship Him, to not simply trust in our own skills and abilities, and to pray and to pray and to pray. And what does it look like in our own lives to be dependent on God? It's those three things as well. It's to worship God, it's to not simply trust in our own skills and abilities and ideas, and it's to pray, pray, pray. That when we worship God, it is us putting Him first in all that we do. That it's us making a priority to carve out time for Him. To say, God, I want to give you my best. I want to look to you and grow in relationship with you. It's not time that comes at the end of the day if I've got enough energy, but hey, no, I'm making it a priority to be in church on a Sunday. I'm making it a priority to be in my small group. I'm making it a priority to spend time with you, God, in prayer and reading your word. I'm making it a priority to be spending this time because I want to put you first and I want to live out of my relationship with you into the world. And it's putting God first in all our other things as well, in our finances. It's seeking to worship God in our relationships. And, you know, putting God first and worshiping Him and trusting Him in this, seeking to give Him praise and glory, doesn't have to be boring. Doesn't mean that we're going to have to sit every morning with our Bible, our Greek and our Hebrew books there, our commentaries spread out in front of us going, God, we really want to know you, so may you make yourself known. Hey, if that appeals to you, I'm not knocking it. Go for it. But for most of us, that's not how we actually want to prioritize spending time with God. We don't want to worship God in that way. We want to be doing things that help to bring us joy. You know, during COVID, one of the things that Grace and I would do during that time was actually to jump on our computer, on my computer, and we'd put on zoo webcams, zoo live cams, and safari cams, and we would look at the animals. And we'd laugh and we'd make silly comments, but what we're doing in that is that we're actually marveling at God's creation. And we would give thanks to God for this. See, it doesn't have to be boring. It should be fun. It should bring us joy as we worship God. The second thing for us is not simply to trust in our own skills and ideas. It's testing the ideas that we come up with, the things that we think, oh yeah, this seems like a good idea, against what God is saying. That it might seem good on paper and it might tick all the right boxes for us. We've done our pros and cons list and gone, yep, all right, cool. But is this actually what God is calling us to? The same for our relationships. If I can talk to our single and dating people here. When we come to be dependent and trusting God in relationships, it's us going, God, is this who you are calling us to be? This relationship might look like a good fit, or I feel like I want that, but is that who you are calling me to be? Is that who you are calling us to be in this? And trusting that God is good in us, that God, in what his provisions are and what he has set out for us and the instructions he gives us for living, are actually to bring life and not to simply restrict us. That what he says is good is good. And that what he says is bad actually doesn't bring us life, but can take us from the fullness of life that he has for us. And these things might look different to what the world says is good. That actually it takes us committing to God and going, yeah, God, I'm trusting you in this. I'm seeking you. That while I think it might be a good idea, is this what you want for me? And if it's not, as much as it might break my heart to do this, I'm going to keep trusting in you because I know that you call me to life. And the third thing for us, to pray, pray, pray. God wants us to come to him, and being dependent on God says, yeah, God, I'm trusting in you in this. I'm looking to you to move in my life, to be moving powerfully. I'm looking to you to be helping me to want to know you more and more. I'm praying for you to reveal yourself to me. I'm praying, God, for you to lead me in my life. I'm bringing what is on my heart and mind to know and love you and laying it at your feet saying, God, you are a God who loves and cares for me, and so I'm going to trust you in this. Help me to seek and know your wisdom. And prayer is us laying the big and the little things at God's feet and listening to him in the midst of that as well. It is us saying, God, we're putting you first. Let me finish with this story. A few months ago, we got a new door for the vicarage shed. And it had a lock on it that was different from all our other keys. And so we were given the three keys on the one key ring. And I kept looking at that key ring going, I really should split up those keys, because if something happens, I don't want to lose all of the keys. And lo and behold, I lost the keys. I was out doing the mowing and the gardening, and I put the mower away and locked the garage door from inside and pulled it shut because I was sure I had the keys. And I'm looking at the end of the day going, where are those keys? The days go on. I'm getting more and more stressed because I've looked in all the logical places and some of the illogical places as well. And so out of a conversation we had with others, I actually decided to pray. Now, I should have done this first off, that if I was actually being like a good person, I would have prayed first. But I didn't. I tried to do it in my own strength, and that didn't work. So I'm praying, and I felt like God say, do the washing. I was like, all right, God. I have checked the pockets of my shorts and things where I thought I might have put them. But all right, I'll trust you. And so I did the washing, but I didn't find the keys. I'd love to say that I did the washing and the keys were there. Well, they weren't. So I spent the rest of the day annoyed at God. I said, God, I prayed, I asked you for this, and you said do the washing. I was pretty sure, like, you said that. Annie confirmed later on that she'd felt like, oh, yeah, do the washing. She's like, no, Steve will have checked there. So I'm there, God, I'm annoyed at you. Later on, I'm emptying the washing machine out from another load of washing that I'd done. And what catches my eye? But a silver glint. And there in the front of our lint filter in our front loader washer, hidden away, were the keys. It is in our dependence on God that as we pray, as we seek Him, as we trust in Him, not in our own skills and abilities, but as we look to praise and glorify Him, that actually we say, God, yeah, we want to know You and we are seeking You, and we see God move powerfully in our lives. So let me pray for us. God, we thank You that You are a God who loves us. That as You have made Yourself known to us, that as You have redeemed us, not because we're some special people, but because we are simply made by You for You. God, we thank You. And we want to honor and recognize our need for You. Saying, God, we can't do this on our own. We are sorry for the times that we've tried to do it on our own strength. That we've tried to live this perfect life that we are unable to live. That we've tried to earn our relationship with You. But we can't do that. And so, God, we thank You that You have made a way for us. And we come saying, thank You. And we want to look to You. And so, God, would You help us to be recognizing our need for You day by day in our own lives and as a church corporately as well. God, help us to worship You in all that we do. Help us to not simply trust in our own skills and ideas and abilities, but help us to pray and pray and pray and seek You and know You at work in us. God, would You stir in us a hunger for You? Would You stir in us that as we recognize our need for You, there's actually a great love for You as well? That as we know Your love, we would live that love to You as well. And so help us to do this, that we might be an epicenter of hope, sharing the life that we have in You. In Jesus' name, amen.